Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Sunday morning edition of The Wrap After Midnight. And it is the end of WrestleMania Night 1, going down live from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. I bring to you on the free feed on YouTube live on a Sunday morning after midnight. I bring to you a baby-faced, fresh face, WrestleMania Scott Young. Hello, WrestleMania Scott. How did you survive night one of WrestleMania 40?
Well, I think I did pretty well. My picks were okay. There was one pick that I was right about that I can't wait for you to talk about. But as always, Keela, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited. This night one does not compare to 39, but it was still a good WrestleMania night one.
You know, it wasn't 39. It wasn't even 38 a couple of years ago, but I thought it was a solid night one, and it could be a very rare case of night two eclipsing night one tonight as we celebrate night two of WrestleMania. But before we get into it, if you are watching us live on YouTube, if you're watching us live on X, if you're on YouTube right now, the comment section is open. Feel free to interact with us throughout the show. Super chat us, give us some extra cheddar to put in our bank account, which is great, as we do what we do for fun, but a little extra coin doesn't hurt either. So feel free to comment, talk to us throughout this episode of The Wrap live on YouTube as we recap the highs and lows from night one of WrestleMania. And tomorrow, because so much was happening with WrestleMania weekend, we're going to talk about NXT Stand and Deliver tomorrow. I saw a grand total of two matches, the first two, which I thought were very good matches. We're diving into the rest of the card tomorrow night for night two of WrestleMania. But Scott, ancillary thoughts from night one without giving too much away. What did you think about the set? What did you think about the production? What did you think about the ambiance for 40 years of WrestleMania?
I thought the set, I thought it all felt big, felt big time, felt XL as they wanted to put out there. And, you know, at the entrances, they most of them felt big time. I thought this was a good night one. It's just hard when you're coming off a night one that you had last year, which was an all-time great WrestleMania night that you could put up against any WrestleMania. So they got the work cut out for them. Night two is going to have to deliver, because I just didn't think they had that standout match that we've come to expect from a WrestleMania.
That is true. There was like not that one match that said, oh my God, this is WrestleMania. But I did spot a couple of really good matches that gave me the feels in all the right ways, as we'll get to momentarily. But I did enjoy the set. Now, it's not going to be as extravagant and fancy as last year's set for Hollywood. That was a beautiful set. I thought that XL kind of came through in its own special way. It was kind of low-key in a good way. And listen, let's be real. Nothing will ever top the horror that was that flat screen that we got for WrestleMania 35. That was by far the worst set they ever put together. They basically said, here's a big-ass screen. Here you go. at least we got some color. We got some special effects. We got something that stood out to say this is truly WrestleMania 40, despite the set not being as big and splashy as in years past.
Is 35 the dome? Is that the Thunderdome?
No, that was at MetLife Stadium.
Oh, that's even worse. I think the Thunderdome, the one where Kevin Owens decided to jump off the highest thing he could find, I thought that set was worse.
Well, that was a PC, very subdued.
Hey, you put it. It's in the books.
That set is true.
Is in the books. You know what I'm saying? It's in the books. Regardless of the situation, you knew what you were getting yourself into. We appreciate it, but you knew what you were getting yourself into, so it's in the books.
It is. You know, well, we had no people there a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, they had to do what they had to do. We fell off that sign, which was very memorable. But the most memorable part about that WrestleMania at the PC was the ceiling fan, which is a running joke in WWE. They put on a T-shirt saying that was the only fan physically in the building for that year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, when you top a special appearance by the Big Show being in the main event as the worst part of a WrestleMania, you did something special there. So shout out to the fan. Cheers to you.
Shout out to the fan, the one fan that kept the air circulating. I miss that fan. That was a PC staple until they had to restructure the building and make it NXT friendly now. But that fan was truly an MVP 4 years ago. But let's talk about this year's WrestleMania with people in the building sold out at the Link. And we kick things off with a beautiful rendition of the national anthem by Grammy Award winner Coco Jones. Love that performance by her. And she held on that last note, gave some harmonies. I was living for that. And then we got Paul Triple H Levesque coming out to welcome us to welcome us to WrestleMania 40. And I noticed, Scott, that we got a new Marvel-like WWE signature to kick off the new era in WWE. And speaking of that, I think we might have the name. And no, I am not going to be copying Michael Cole and say it's the Triple H era. I like what Cody said since he trademarked it. We're going to call this era potentially the Renaissance era.
All right. I guess that explains Seth Rollins' outfit. Whatever, Cody. The Renaissance, whatever. Triple H is he's definitely making sure you know this is going to be this is him. This is completely everything that you, everything that has that had that beginning and at the end, everything that's got that, you know, that's a Triple H production.
The closing signature got me too. Like he says, this was a WWE presentation.
He needs to stop it. He needs to be stopped. Like the opening, I'm like, all right, okay, that's a bit much, but all right, I get it. You're an egomaniac anyway. We all know that, but all right, that's a bit much. Then he did it at the end with the graph. I'm like, all right, you need to be stopped. Because listen, I'm not going to be seeing, because I'm going to watch the pay-per-view to the end, especially the way they've been putting that bottom half up. And then all you next thing you know, somebody, CM Punk came out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to watch it to the end. But what I'm not going to keep doing is feeding into this. And this man needs to be stopped. We don't need to hear your voice at the end of every show.
Like, I was not expecting it. I was ready to turn off the show, get ready for the press conference. And he says, this was a WWE presentation, right, bringing you 70 years of sports and entertainment. Woo. Like, oh, that's a cold bar. Like, okay, Hunter, I see you. You're going to open and close WWE shows now. I feel you. But yeah, that is a lot. But I'm kind of here for it. Hey, if you in your era, you in your bag right now, you got the pen full time and nobody's in your ear, nobody's micromanaging you, hey, you get to flex a little bit. Why not be a little bit egregious with your opening and closing signature for WWE now?
All right. I think he needs to be stopped. So you're for it. I think this man needs to be stopped. Next thing you know, he's just going to be in every commercial, you know, because like, then people, you know, I paid the 99 cent for the Peacock. Some, you know, I got the Cyber Monday special for the year. Some people didn't get that. They got to watch the ads and stuff. Next thing you know, it's just going to be Triple H's face doing some voiceover. He needs to be stopped now before this goes too far.
This was giving signature NFL Network voiceover for real. It was giving like NFL films for real. It really was. It was kind of eerie in a way. But speaking of Peacock, a week before WrestleMania, no lie, I was subscribed to Peacock through my Xfinity subscription, paid my $5.99 a month, and then all of a sudden they kicked $5.99. I'm paying the full $5.99. So I woke up one morning and I found out they canceled my subscription out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, trying to be funny. So now I got to subscribe through Google to make sure that my Peacock subscription is not going to be kicked out by Xfinity. Forget y'all. Now I got like another bill on top of the bills I already got. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I hope they at least gave you the $2.99 special.
They did over the holidays, but I had no idea they gave it to me until like after it was over. Like, great. Fantastic.
Yeah, that $5.99 for The Office is hefty.
It is hefty, but it's worth it, though. It's worth it. Better than the $9.99 for the original WWE Network, save about $4. So with that, enough haggling over WrestleMania prices on Peacock and whatnot. Let's get to the opening match for WrestleMania 40. It was for the Women's World Championship. It was Rhea Ripley, the champion, versus Becky Lynch, the challenger. And I enjoy the entrances for both ladies. Becky Lynch is now a New York Times bestselling author. And congrats to her. Loved her entrance with her book as she read excerpts. And we saw kind of portions of her book as her ringer, which is really nice. And then Rhea Ripley comes out to the band that plays her entrance music. Now, a few years ago, we had somebody come out there singing our old school theme song. And with all due respect to that lady, she was off key. Thankfully, this fella was on key the entire time. And Rhea Ripley exuded absolute star power, lip syncing her song down to the ring. She looked amazing. And this was a really strong opening match to WrestleMania. And Becky Lynch was not at 100% because she had strep throat during the week. She was fighting a 102-degree temperature, high fever, but she somehow made it through this match. She held her own, and Rhea Ripley is always a powerhouse. And they had a really competitive, fun match. They kicked out of each other's finishers. Becky hit the manhandle slam. Rhea kicked out of that. Rhea was able to land the riptide, and Becky kicked out of that, went for submissions at various points, and both ladies were able to counter that. And then ultimately, it came down to Rhea Ripley blocking a top rope spot by Becky, hitting the riptide on the ropes in the turnbuckle, followed by another riptide in the middle of the ring to get the victory to retain her Women's World Championship. She's been the champion for well over a year. And to me, this is the correct outcome. The only outcome that made sense, that Becky Lynch said that you might be better than me. I got to prove it at WrestleMania. And unfortunately, Rhea Ripley is mommy after all. She stood tall, and rightfully so, a very strong way to kick off WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia.
Yeah, mommy is on top of the man again. And that's the way it should be. The match was really good. I thought Becky Lynch delivered again in another WrestleMania match. One thing I thought was interesting post-match during the press conference, I thought it was interesting she pointed this out, and I hope it's something they build towards. She mentioned that someone asked a question about the four horsewomen and how she's knocking them off and how she just had Charlotte last year. Now she's got Becky, and Rhea was like, yeah, and you know, me and Bianca, we're knocking them off one by one. And I'm hoping that one day that's leading to that confrontation that we know has got to happen. We've seen the face-offs. Eventually that's got to happen, but this match was really good. This was not the last time we would see somebody use the turnbuckle to their advantage to set up their finisher. I thought the crowd was pretty excited for it, a lot of energy for it. I enjoyed the match. This was a good way to start it off. I thought they might have started with Jimmy and Jay, but start with the title match, have a hot crowd to go with it, and before the main event, this was probably the best entrance from Rhea Ripley for WrestleMania tonight.
Yes, for sure. There was a couple of really good entrances we'll get to later, but I thought that Rhea definitely came through. Love the live band, and sometimes live bands are very hit and miss vocally, but this guy and his band was pretty tight, hit the notes properly, and they were in it. The fans loved it. Rhea Ripley was amazing out there tonight, and Becky Lynch was a soldier for competing the way that she did, because she was sick throughout the week and she was able to come through and deliver another pretty strong WrestleMania performance to kick off XL. As we get to our next match, it was a six-pack challenge. It was a ladder match for the undisputed WWE tag team titles. As teased by Michael Cole this past Monday on Raw, the titles were oddly separated from each other. They weren't together, which meant that if one tag team grabs one set of titles, they're the champions, and then it's up for grabs as to who will grab the other set of tag team titles. So the competitors were The Awesome Truth, The Miz, and R-Truth. It was a New Day. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods dressing like old school Consequences, Creed, in honor of Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies. Love that tribute to Carl Weathers. Then we had next out there was the New Catch Republic, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, followed by A Town Down Under, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, followed by DIY, getting that DX treatment coming out there, courtesy of Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. And of course, we have our reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, Damian Priest and Finn Balor. And I thought this match was chaotic. It was definitely wild at times, but exciting for the most part as they went out there and had a car crash. The first half of the match is pretty easy, with A Town Down Under winning the SmackDown Tag Team titles. And I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there, and I wondered why, and I sat there some more, Scott.
Well, this is a good start to my night. I was 2 for 2 at this point. Real excited about the prospect of what was coming next. I actually like this because it made, you know, throwing the people out the ring in there, it's a possibility of you actually getting up the ladder and winning it. Like, we're so used to them knocking the two teams off the ladders onto the ropes. They roll out, they climb up, somebody stops them. I know it was abrupt and nobody saw it coming, but it was a refreshing finish in the middle of that match to just see how quickly you can get up there and get those titles. So that was a refreshing change. And then Grayson Waller immediately goes through another ladder. Brought me back to when he took that big dive and completely tore up his elbow. So hopefully he's good, because he just got that belt. And he did not try to protect himself, because he was just holding on to that title. So he was probably thinking, yeah, this might be it for me. Hope I enjoy this reign. This might be it. Here we go. But no, this was a good match. The Johnny Gargano tornado DDT through the table on the outside, that was nasty. This was, like you said, it was a car crash. This was the only type of match like this on this card. So it stood out in that way. It worked really well. Coming off of the Rhea Becky, you know, really good wrestling match, this was a nice change of pace, where you just have bodies just flying everywhere. And what more were you going to expect with 12 people in the ring as it is? And let me also say this, shout out to The Miz. You know, we'll get to the result in a second, but that man ain't take too many bumps in this match. Let me just throw that out there, okay? I don't even remember. I remember taking one bump, rolled out there for about 10 minutes, came back in, climbed the ladder, went back down. Next thing you know, he's laid out. R-Truth got the belt. He done ran up. All of a sudden, he good. He ran up. He good. Shout out to Mike for getting yourself a nice paycheck and not having to do a lot.
Let me tell you something about your boy, Michael.
Shout out to
Mazzani.
Mike.
No, we're not going to be doing that, because this man did the bare minimum. The bare minimum. He barely was in this match. I was like, where is Michael? Where is he? What is he doing out here? He's taking like coffee breaks. He's taking naps at ringside. Like, where is The Miz? But I have to shout out R-Truth, because once again, like, I have to say, he was probably the second most over person on this entire show. The pops he was receiving in terms of pure reaction. Like, if he got the hot tag in a ladder match, was crazy. I mean, but the fans loved it. He was awaiting a hot tag in a ladder match.
Can we talk about the fact? Like, Can we, like, not only is he doing that, can we talk about the fact that The Miz is doing the roll through and diving and making the hot tag? Let's not forget about that aspect of it, too. He's making the hot tag.
Yes, he's leaning into the stupidity of this, which I kind of loved. And then R-Truth says, you know what? I know this is stupid, but I'm going to hit my greatest hits courtesy of my childhood hero, John Cena. And then I am going to proceed to do my own pinfall. 1, 2, 3, I won. But, dude, you got to climb the ladder and get the belts. It was so stupid, but it was so great. They loved it. That's why I said that pop. They loved his stupidity, which I appreciated. But shout out to DIY as well, because as you said, that tornado DDT through a table was ridiculous. And then Tommaso Ciampa had Tyler Bate up for an air raid crash. Mm. The fall was crazy. Michael Cole's freaking out at ringside on commentary. That was a gnarly bump. DIY, they were doing work. Kofi Kingston, a trust fall off the freaking ladder too onto everybody on the outside. Like, I think that New Cash Republic, New Day, DIY, they were the MVPs. They really kept things flowing and moving throughout this match. Finn Balor got punished. The bumps he took on the ladder was absolutely ridiculous as well. But things got a little crazy towards the end because this ladder that everybody was climbing up to get the Raw Tag Team titles was mangled. It was like very unsteady, and they was trying to get Damian Priest, hey, let's be a little careful here, you might want to switch up ladders. They eventually did, and by doing so, that allowed R-Truth to come through in the clutch to take out his nemesis, to play into this Judgment Day storyline they've been playing up for months. And R-Truth was the last man standing, and The Miz is willing his guy to climb that ladder to grab those tag team titles. And R-Truth made that climb. He grabbed those titles, unlashed it from that hook. And now The Miz and R-Truth, the awesome truth in the year 2024 at WrestleMania 40, are the new Raw tag team titles. The tag team titles have been split. And I will say that I made a lot of comments about how I did not want this to happen. But I take that back, because the proper finish took place as this person smiles at me like he's very bashful right now because I'm about to pay The Miz a compliment, but more so R-Truth, because this was his story that he had to finish his first major victory at WrestleMania, and it was played up perfectly. We had stupid comedy. We had the elation of victory, and he was the one. He had to be the only one to climb up, get those bumps, to win the championship for his team. And for that, I am very happy for R-Truth and begrudgingly happy for The Miz, too.
Yes. Another notch in The Miz's belt, you know? Another tag team victory, another tag title victory for him. If I remember correctly, I think he retained the titles he lost the titles with Big Show. So a tag team victory, you know, he knows what it's like to lose the titles. When he was The Miz Show, got knocked out. Now he knows how it feels to get them back. A babyface win for Mike The Miz. Listen, say what you want about the man, him and R-Truth. R-Truth over 50. Mike in his mid-40s, these guys are showing you how it's done. Essentially, we're looking at LeBron and Steph Curry in the WWE. So it's a beautiful thing.
Excuse me?
You can take your pick who's who. I'd probably go light skin, but that's up to you.
First of all, I never thought in the history of this show that has been around for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
We've been together 2 of those years outright. Mm. And I never thought I would hear you say that anybody in WWE are the LeBron James and Steph Curry of tag teams. So for you to recognize that dream team duo greatness makes me incredibly happy and proud. Thank you.
Listen, I have no problem giving Steph his props. He's going to get kicked out in the play-in, so it's fine. It's not like okay. I got to worry about playing him, so it's fine. I don't mind giving him props when he's at home.
Today is Sunday, April 7th, 2024. When they play in the play-in in a couple of weeks, we will revisit this footage, and I will throw it in Scott's face when the Lakers go home if they don't climb out of the ninth spot.
we were already in seventh. So we're going to go ahead and get that seventh spot. We're going to take that. We've been 5-1 in our road trip. Just won our game today. Feeling real good about that. But yeah, shout out to Mike. Real quick, three and three quarter riptides for Becky and Rhea. And for this match, I'm going to go with, in honor of R-Truth and his lifelong hero, I'm going to go with 3.5 AAs.
Fair assessments. I co-signed for both. And two very good openers to kick off WrestleMania 40 as we get to our next match, which is Rey Mysterio and not Dragon Lee. It's Andrade as his tag team partner versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Now, on SmackDown the night before, Dragon Lee was supposed to be Rey's tag team partner, but he was attacked, Scott. He was attacked by an unknown assailant. And the only person who magically was there was Carlito. Now, Carlito did that shit, okay? He attacked Dragon Lee, because let's go back in time to last Friday SmackDown, the week before WrestleMania, when Rey introduced Dragon Lee as the newest member of the LWO, because Carlito thought, okay, when it comes to WrestleMania, when it comes to Legado and the LWO, I know Rey's going to pick me, right? And then we saw Carlito's face selling disappointment, but he fixed his face real quick and he says, okay, I'm going to ride with this. It's Dragon Lee. Then when Andrade flipped on Dominic and Legado and realigned with Rey and Zelina Vega, Carlito was backstage thinking that, hi, here I am. I'm going to be your tag team partner at WrestleMania. And then Zelina says, no, we got Andrade. And he was like, oh, great, wonderful, fantastic. Carlito is turning heel eventually, and I am here for that. But before we get to the match, Scott, your theories on Carlito being the lead suspect in these phantom attacks.
Oh, I think you laid it out. I think you're spot on. It didn't happen here. Dominic Mysterio is now 0-2 against his pops. So that'll play out. But yeah, I think you're spot on with that. It's obvious, but it's not, you know, in a bad way, because when it does happen, it's going to mean something. He's the biggest guy out there. Well, he was until Andrade, but, you know, he's got the most girth to him. So he's got a little size. He'll be a nice addition to Legado. I think they can legitimately be the group that they want the Blair Witch Project to be.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
May I ask, who is the Blair Witch Project?
Oh, that's Scarlett, Keanu Reeves, and
Wait a minute. Pause. Time out. Challenge flag on the play. I have an objection. Keanu Reeves is now Karrion Kross.
Yeah. I saw that, man, and I was like, yo, you dress up as John Wick for Halloween? What are we doing right now? Yeah, that man is definitely Keanu Reeves. You ever seen the picture of Keanu Reeves just sitting on the bench, just chilling? That's what I see Karrion Kross doing in his free time, just throwing bread to birds.
Oh my God. I was not ready for that comparison. Like, who is the Blair Witch Project?
Don't worry, it's coming tomorrow. We're going to talk about it tomorrow.
It is. And you know what?
The Blair Witch Project versus the Lion King.
A double feature presentation from hell. But I will tell you this, because of the rules of the match, Philadelphia Street Fight, it could be a show stealer. I expect absolute shenanigans. I think it's going to be all right. I expect it's going to be good. So back to this match. I'm going to be real. Outside of the assisted crossbody spot by Andrade and Rey, thought this match was all right. It was all right. It was fine. You know, not as spicy as Rey versus Dominic last year at WrestleMania. It just existed. You know, Andrade is very good, but we still haven't seen his best back in WWE as of yet, that proper showcase match upon his return to WWE. This match was fine. We had some great high spots from Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo, Cruz del Toro, and obviously the show still of Joaquin Wild is taking flight and wiping out everybody at ringside. And Carlito was helping. I did notice a little reluctance in sections, you know, to pretend he's still on their side for now. I caught that. The subtlety of Carlito's body language is very good to me, and I can really sense that tension of him like, I ain't really fucking with y'all, but at the same time, I'll allow it for now. I'll be the rah-rah cheerleader until it's time for me to turn on you guys along last. And then we had Rey and Andrade hit the finishers for the win, but we should note there are two very large luchadors that stopped Dominic from bashing his father's head in with a steel chair. And come to find out, these two larger-than-life luchadors were two members of the Philadelphia Eagles, recently retired Jason Kelsey, the brother of Travis Kelsey. His Philadelphia Eagles won the championship way back in 2018 alongside Lane Johnson. So nice WrestleMania 40 cameos from two members of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that was cool. That was the only time my wife had any interest in WrestleMania. But then I said, hey, there's a Kelsey. Hey, which one? Is it Travis? Nope. Oh, go back. Not interested. So that didn't last long. The match was fine. Felt like just a reason to make sure that you had Rey Mysterio and Dominic on the card facing each other. And like I said, I fully expect next year to probably be Rey's swan song and career versus mask or something like that. Dominic's got to get a win over Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. He's 0-2 now, but yeah, the match was fine. I think the impending, whenever it happens, Andrade Escobar match would be really, really good. Give him some time, let him work. And I thought Dominic looked good in this match. So, the match was fine. It just wasn't it. This is to me where the card didn't continue to elevate. Like, the car crash match wasn't as good as the Rhea Becky match, but it didn't need to be. It filled its purpose. This match kind of needed to take it to that next, needed to be as good, if not better, than that Becky Rhea match to take the heat to that next level with the crowd. So the match was okay. This is where I kind of think the WrestleMania card goes into just a little bit, not as much of a lull because the energy and the feel is still there, but it just didn't, the match quality is not matching where we're at right now for WrestleMania.
Exactly. At this point in the show, we took a low dip because the last couple of WrestleManias, the back nine, to use a golf analogy, like the back nine historically was like some of the best of WrestleMania you would ever see. If you put those back nines together as a compilation the last couple of years, unmatched. And unfortunately, this year just couldn't top it. So that is why night two has a very good possibility of being the better night tonight. But this started a slight slide in quality for a bit. We bounced back for the semi-main event, which we'll get to momentarily. But yeah, this match was fine. If this was on SmackDown, eh, it would have been perfectly fine on SmackDown before WrestleMania. I'm not going to lie, but I think the inner story is ultimately going to be Carlito turning on LWO eventually and feuding with Rey Mysterio, which should be pretty good in the months to come, give them a side feud heading into the summer season. As we get to our next match, brother versus brother, Uso versus Uso, Yeet versus no Yeet. It is Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, and Lil Wayne accompanied Jey Uso to ringside. Who would have thought that? Now, I enjoyed the entrances for both brothers. Scott is rubbing his lips because I think he wants to say something. I'm going to let him say it in a moment. But historically speaking, unless you are Bret the Hitman Hart and Owen Hart, brother versus brother tends not to be great. It tends to be oil and water sometimes in the ring. I will say this match was nothing more than a bunch of super kicks. I think that the crowd loved saying yeet, no yeet. They loved Jay, but Jay was booked to be an idiot towards the end of this match when his brother got down on his knees and said, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Let's hug it out. Let's have a kumbaya in the middle of this blood rivalry at WrestleMania 40. And the fans knew, Jay, don't hug your brother. Don't lift your brother up. Don't hug him. Don't embrace him. The moment he did that and the moment Jimmy said psych and kicked him in the fucking face, that is when the fans said, you know what, we're checking out, like, whatever. Like, it was such a dumb spot that made Jay look like a gullible idiot. And then Jimmy goes for a near fall up top frog splash, and then Jay recovers, yay, super kick, spear, yay, and he gets to win, yay. But all of the oxygen got sucked out of the room because for that space and time, he was booked like a dummy. And when you do that, it takes me out of the match. And the fans were like, why should I care? And honestly, Philly fans, it's cold as hell outside. I don't blame you, because I just said F it at that point as well.
Lot to unpack here. Let's start at the beginning. First of all, who told Lil Wayne to perform a Millie?
What?
That's what you coming out and get? Man, if you don't give me Meek Mill, after that great intro he gave us, you're not going to have that man come out and perform. Instead, I'm not mad at Wayne, but a Millie? A Millie?
We're supposed to be getting a new song, though. He said on Raw, new song dropping to WrestleMania. Is that dropping night two?
Oh, you know what it is? He on that Taylor Swift. He redoing his songs. he re-recording songs. That was the re-recorded a Millie. Like, I was like, yo. So I was thinking, okay, maybe he's starting with a Millie, then he gonna go into some other stuff, do a quick little thing. And then Jay's music appears and all... It's just me. It's just me, Wayne. Day one. A Millie. I'm like, a Millie? That took me out. I was like, all right, we're not off to a good start. Yeah, this is a match that even the Young Bucks would be like, all right, I think we're doing a bit much. Because I don't think there was another move except for punches, a spear, super kicks. A crescent kick was, or a jumping calf kick was thrown in there, and a frog splash. It's, you know, I just wonder who booked this match, because it's not like Jay can do different things. Like when he was on his Intercontinental title run back when he first became Main Event Jay, this dude was, he had a moveset. He was doing different things. When he had his match with Gunther, he had a moveset. When he had his match with Seth Rollins, like he's doing these different things. And I'm just wondering why this was so limited, and it kind of felt like a theme throughout the night. You know, this was a tag team heavy night, and it started to make me wonder, are they holding back, you know, purposely? Because, you know, this was one of the few singles matches you had, so high expectations for it. I just, I don't know, man. I felt like there was a lot of limitations on some of these matches as far as what they were doing, and or if it was, and if it's just the match layout, then that's really disappointing. Because I mean, Jay's over that throwing the hands up, and all of a sudden Wayne's head popped in on the staircase. I didn't know, he looked like Beetlejuice popping out of nowhere. Somebody said his name three times, but I just disappointing match. Kind of like the first one. The Dom, the LWO versus Legato, that's going to get two and three quarter mask out of me. And this one right here, I'm going to give it two super kicks.
That's very fair. I think that what this match lacked was dynamics. It was just something that was there. I am very curious to know who produced this match. And I want to know how much collaboration Jimmy and Jay had into it, because I know they can do better than this, especially Jay, whose moveset is very dynamic. He could go out there and put on a bell-to-bell great match. He can bring the emotion and drama. I know Jimmy can go too. I think there's been some flack on him as well. But for whatever reason, they did not click in this match. And it was basically a super kick party. It was a splash here, a splash there, punches here, punches there. But nothing dynamic. Nothing that gave me a reason to say, wow, I've been waiting for this for so long. Like, the video package was great. The promos have been pretty good. And the Bloodline storyline tells itself. But the body of this match was very lacking for me. The fans tried to will it to be good. But the moment that Jimmy was begging for forgiveness and Jay was so gullible to fall for it, I just fell out of love with the match, and I already was barely holding on to begin with, and then we got the finish, which was fine, but it just felt incredibly flat. And the fans were like, yay, Jay won, but it was given that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know, they'll both show up tomorrow night, so, and Jay's gonna get a great reaction when he comes out tomorrow night. So you know, I think tonight, I think what you said at the beginning, at the top of the show, is just going to echo throughout kind of our review and what we talk about at the end. This was a good, you know, kind of precursor and stepping stone for what we're going to have tomorrow night as far as the build and the explosion that's going to happen. Like, we just lit the dynamite tonight, it felt like, with a lot of these matches.
Yes, it was like setting up the dynamite to really go off tomorrow in that main event that we'll get to later on. We'll preview it for tomorrow or tonight, depending where you are in the world right now. But yeah, this match did not do much for me. Very disappointing. Definitely for me, by far, the weakest match from WrestleMania night one, not even close. As we get to our next match, which was a six-woman tag team match involving Damage Control, and Dakota Kai has now joined Elite Company because her ring gear was spectacular, and therefore she now has a table at Red Lobster for some cheddar biscuits. She sure does, because she was brave to wear that outfit in that cold.
I mean, I that's fine. It ain't my restaurant. You got to pay for it. So you got all I'm gonna say is this, Keela. As far as you and your tables and whatnot, you're running out of room because you got a lot of people in there with their own tables, their own little private sections. Julius got a corner. Ludwig got a corner, which means Tiffany got to have a section on the corner. You're running out of floor space over there. All of a sudden, now Dakota got a corner now. Yeah, you're running out of space because you know she's bringing the squad. You know what I'm saying? She bringing the squad. So
for sure. Absolutely.
You're running out of space.
Absolutely. But you gave Bailey the restaurant last week. So what are we saying here? Like, I'm out of space. You gave her the entire restaurant.
Touche.
Yes, exactly.
Touche. But I can tell you this. Dakota and her squad won't be allowed in Bailey's restaurant. I can tell you that.
No infighting allowed. Trust and believe that. Not having it. And we had their opponents, my God in heaven. So on SmackDown the night before, Jesus Christ, Black Jesus Magic. Christ. I mean, the aura, Scott, the aura of these three together. First on SmackDown, they had the Cowboy Carter aesthetic looking real good. Like, I have to say, every photo shoot they've done, every motion they've made together for press conferences, backstage interactions, their fits, this entrance with Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jay Cargill, like, holy God in heaven, the aura they exude together is special. Jade called them the big three, and you can see why. Like, their presence together is just special. And I was talking to one of my mutuals. I was saying, hell, I almost would like to see trios belts for the women's division for these three alone. It won't happen, but that is how strong their aura is. They was on this big old platform. They were up in the air. They lowered down. They had their individual entrances. They looked amazing. My God, even Bianca with the Georgie LaForge tribute from Star Trek with the shades, the visor, all of it. Naomi looked amazing. And then we had Jay looking incredible with the natural hair and the wet curl. Like, incredible. That's before the match itself. But Scott, presentation thoughts on the big three.
Yeah, shout out to Reading Rainbow. wouldn't have learned how to read without it. Listen, I think it's very telling that Jay Cargill said the big three, because soon enough she's going to be saying, no big three, just me. Keep that in mind, okay? Because yes. She's definitely feeling the Kendrick vibes right now, all right? Bianca could be Drake and Naomi could be J. Cole, but she's definitely on her Kendrick right now. Let me just throw that out there. If they're not embodying the wrestling version of Destiny's Child, I don't know what they're doing, because that's exactly what I'm pretty sure I saw them do the same thing at like the 1997 MTV Awards. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It was incredible. It was beautiful. It reminded me of when Shawn Michaels, was coming down from heaven when he had his match against The Undertaker, as he rose from hell and Shawn came down. It was great. Black Magic at his best, three queens doing what they do best. And I mean, honestly, the match isn't much to talk about with the match. It was just a showcase for these ladies. I'm happy Damage Control got on the card, but this was absolutely just a showcase. The match was only worth 2.5, but I'm gonna give them three black queens. Yes. For this match, three black queens.
Yes, three black queens. I agree. Like, the match wasn't much, honestly speaking. Mm-hmm. Naomi was in there for a bit, and then Bianca got the hot tag, but it was basically leading to Jay Cargill's high spots, which we got, and they all landed perfectly. She was just star out there, and Bianca Belair used her braid to whip the fuck out of Asuka, yeah, which was incredible.
I don't know what Asuka is on, because I know she's seen Becky, I know she's seen Sasha after getting them whips. I don't know what type of reparations they on, what game, what bet they lost, because who told her to take that in the face?
Oh my God.
Who? And Bianca, let me tell you something. You know better. You know the power that you got in your hands, let alone your hair. You know how powerful your hair is, man. You know how tough that hair is. And you got the nerve to have that thing all tight and you want to whip somebody in the face. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
She cracked her so hard, and it was so loud. It was like, my God.
That was Sasha loud.
It was Sasha loud. It really was a gunshot. My God, it was so loud, but it was perfect in the face. And then Jade hits Jaded on Dakota Kai for the victory. Like, everybody had their moment to shine. But yeah, this was just freaking aura. Like, you're right. This was like Destiny's Child peak. In the late 90s, early 2000s, if you was going to like a concert Dark Child, Destiny's Child, the Rodney production, you know, come on, Writing's on the Wall, that era, you know, the Survivor era. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you went to a concert, you would expect this in a lot of ways, just the aura, the fits.
Just the opening. This is the opening of the show right here. This is how they're coming into the arena. And everybody's like, oh my God. And don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on the press conference, because Naomi gave me real big Michelle vibes back there. Okay. I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But they are definitely, that is Michelle, Kelly, and Beyonce.
Yes, it
the
is.
The way it was laid out and everything. Like, I'm just saying.
I loved it. Their press conference was a highlight for me too. Like, them good. Together is just great. But we know Jade is totally going to big time them and beat their asses.
No big three, just me. I'm telling you, y'all keep that in mind. No big three, just me.
Enjoy this time together. But yeah, it was a really fun showcase. I love the press conference. I just love their energy. Naomi was definitely giving Michelle in a good way. You know, she was talking about, like, you know, being the vet that's been there for a minute, then Bianca Belair having that undefeated streak at WrestleMania, and Jade being a part of her first WrestleMania and never having this experience before on this grand scale. And that is true. And I'm so happy for her that she was able to come through first WrestleMania, get the victory, and then just have this moment with two people that have had their WrestleMania moments in the past. They know what it's like to be on this stage and deliver and to have that experience to boast to her. It's going to be good for Jade in the years to come. And she is going to be a player in WWE. The aura is everything. And these fans are captivated by her. When she gets the hot tag, anytime she's in the ring, like, everybody focuses on her. And you know, her time is going to come. And she's busting out drivers out of nowhere too. So as she expands her moveset, she's going to be a beast for sure. I just really enjoyed the showcase. The match wasn't much, but big three definitely stood out in a good way. Love the presentation, love their chemistry, the charisma, everything was off the charts at WrestleMania 40 for them.
Yeah, this was good. Nice showcase. And I do look forward to Jay just destroying them one day. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it is going to be a brutal beatdown. Two on one. No, it's just going to be one of one with Jade standing tall. And I cannot wait for that whenever that day comes. As we now get to our semi-main event of the evening, it is Sami Zayn versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. And Sami Zayn received like the best production values of the night from the backstage position. He was talking to his wife and his son. He was like, you know, very nervous, but excited for the match. And then he got the pep talk from Chad Gable, who's been his coach heading into WrestleMania 40. Love their video package this past Monday on Raw. And then he's making his way down the tunnel, making his way to gorilla position. And then he finds his best friend, Kevin Owens, who fires him up and said, "You got this, go get it." And then Sami Zayn comes out to a huge ovation. Loved all of that. That one continuous shot, Lee fitting his production work in WWE has been fantastic. And it just reminds me how far gone we were with Kevin Dunn in charge. Like, the new era, it's a brand new day. And it's like, finally, quality production on a high elite level.
Yeah, that was a really nice shot. Chad Gable got some love in there too. This is real good. Could be foreshadowing something that's coming tomorrow that I talked about on our prediction show. Could be getting our Eddie Guerrero and Voldemort moment with two different people for the, you know, for the future. But yeah, that entrance and everything about it, Sammy coming out, the emotion he had, it was real good.
Yes, and Gunther comes out. And I kind of saw some emotion in his eyes too, which is very rare from the ring general, as we had Giovanni Vinci and my guy Ludwig bring him out there and they let him go out there, handle his business. This was, to me, the second best match on the show in terms of drama. And I thought it was very physical, very bruising, back and forth. The fans were into it. Gunther was really great as being the antagonist, going after Sami Zayn, brutalizing him, hitting various finishes on him. And then Sami keeps kicking out and his wife is rooting for him. And then Gunther taunts Sammy's wife in the crowd to say, "Oh, you think he can handle this?" He splashes him, clotheslines, chops, boots, drop kicks. And Sammy absorbs everything. And at one point, Sammy lands a haluva kick. Gunther kicks out. And then it's time for Sammy to power out of not one, but two power bombs by Gunther. And the fans are really biting for these near falls now. This is very dramatic in a good way. And then out of nowhere, we have Sami Zayn hit the most consequential spot of the night, which was a top rope brainbuster. And Michael Cole, the call of that brainbuster, the enthusiasm, the passion, the emotion was spot on. And Sami Zayn hits not one haluva kick, but two to pin Gunther to end his streak as IC champion. The record was broken months ago, and now it's over at WrestleMania. Sami Zayn is the new Intercontinental Champion. Samantha Irvin, who's been incredible, by the way, was very emotional with this announcement. And Sami, another WrestleMania. This guy has had a run at WrestleMania of memorable matches. First, Johnny Knoxville a couple of years ago in Dallas. Last year, the main event against the Usos alongside his best friend Kevin Owens. And now this year against Gunther to end the streak. Hell of a run for Sami Zayn, providing another wonderful WrestleMania moment to his resume.
Back-to-back years, winning a title. Shout out to El Generico for the top rope brainbuster. And, you know, I do want to point out, I think they said Gunther was on day 666. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good thing that ended. Nobody wants to be playing around with those type of things. You believe it or not, that's okay. I done seen plenty of horror movies. I ain't playing around with no 666. So Gunther was like, oh, 666? Yeah, y'all gonna make me wrestle too? I'll take that L. I'm not taking that past 666. And Sami, you know what? I'm worried. Worried about the rain. You starting a rain on somebody's 666 day. You should have waited till night two. You should have been fighting. Hey, can we do this on night two? Can we do on 667? I don't know about 666. But no, the match was good. This is probably my match of the night, bell to bell. I thought Sami just being resilient, fighting. I'm not really a big fan of the spasmatic fist throwing that he does that gets the crowd all fired up. Apparently the crowd loves it, but to me it just looks like he's, you know, just throwing a fit. You know, that's what my 4-year-old looks like when I tell him he can't have that truck anymore. but whatever works, you know, because apparently the crowd was eating it up. But the match was real good. I look forward to the elevation of Gunther now. I honestly don't need to see a rematch. And I hope Gunther's like, you know what? I don't need to have a rematch. I don't need the title anymore. I did everything I can. Nobody will ever match my reign. I'm done with that. I'm moving on. This was a really good match. This is going to get 4 brainbusters out of me.
Ooh, I love that. Love that. I agree. I'm going to go 4 brainbusters as well. Best match of the night for me, bell to bell. And I love spasmic Sami Zayn. I love the fist wailing and him trying to wheel the people on. It gets them going. So if it works for me and the people, it's a winner. So at least it got into it, which is important. And I really enjoyed the match. And Gunther's reign was prolific. He elevated that championship, and his run on the main roster has been amazing. And it's going to continue. This is basically Gunther's next step. Now it's going to be eyes set on either the Universal Championship or the World Heavyweight title. It's about the ascension of Gunther, what championship he covets next. And I'm looking forward to that next chapter as well. He's had a great over a year run as champion. Is well deserved. 666. Oh no, it had to end right there. That is a demonic number. Damien would have came out of here and did some things tonight, so I'm glad that was avoided.
Not the priest.
The demonic baby. Trust and believe that. Okay, the bad seed would have came out here and caused some serious trouble. But as we talked about earlier with Chad Gable encouraging Sami Zayn, and he told him before the match, you owe me a favor. You owe me, I believe, first crack at the championship, and I think that's going to happen. And I do believe, Scott, that possibly the night after WrestleMania or a little afterwards, Chad Gable is going to go on that run, that heel run against Sami Zayn, and he will be the next Intercontinental Champion.
You know what? If it was me, I'd pull a Zack Ryder and have him cheat and win the title on the Raw after Mania, but, you know, that may be a bit much, but that's what I boy, I mean, you're going up against Caitlin Clark anyway, so you got some work to do. But yeah, that definitely looks like it's the next thing. And like I mentioned, I picked Logan Paul to win tomorrow night, or night two. I think Kevin Owens is definitely winning, and we're definitely getting our modern day Eddie Guerrero Voldemort moment for sure. They're definitely going to either hug in the ring or Raw after Mania. They might open the show, both titles, then give the big hug. They'll be like, hey, here we are again, back winning titles. What do you know? So I fully expect Kevin Owens to win tomorrow night after this.
Definitely. And not only that, as you spoke about Caitlin Clark, and unfortunately for Chad Gable and Sami Zayn, Caitlin Clark plays South Carolina today for the championship at 3 o'clock before WrestleMania.
All right. And I thought it was Monday.
They're lucky. Unfortunately, it's still the finals between UConn and Purdue for the men's side. So that's still going to be stiff competition. But
that ain't Caitlin Clark.
It's not Caitlin Clark, because the numbers will come out Monday for sure. But preliminary ratings have shown that the UConn-Iowa game that went up against the second hour of SmackDown, Scott, if you don't already know this, the most watched basketball game ever on ESPN, that is including the NBA.
Hey man, shout out to Caitlin Clark, man. I know we're talking WrestleMania, but shout out to Caitlin Clark, man. Biggest box office draw, obviously ever. So people can say whatever they want about her. She bringing in the dough. You would be stupid not to want her on your team.
Yes, the WNBA, the draft, will be the most watched draft ever. Yep. The WNBA incoming season will be the most watched season ever for years to come. They might have to do expansion talks very soon. The money for this league will magically start to pour in, and I'm very happy for them. I'm very happy because the stars are coming, and WrestleMania is very fortunate because I'll be watching the game today at 3 o'clock on ESPN and ABC. And when the numbers come out tomorrow, that will be, again, the most watched basketball game that has ever aired on ESPN, including the NBA. Any NBA final game they've ever had, that will be eclipsed by this game with Iowa versus South Carolina. Who you got, by the way?
Man, I'm riding with Caitlin Clark, man. I'm riding with her. I didn't think she was gonna beat, you know, LSU. That was, for me, that was the toughest test. You got to go back and beat them. Then you come and you beat Geno. You need to knock out Geno and Paige. Yeah, I'm riding with Caitlin Clark, and she dropping a 40. She's dropping a 30 piece.
I'm going to say South Carolina. They're undefeated, man. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Don, she coaches them up pretty good. We're going to see. We're going to see. But it's going to be a great game, a nice primer before WrestleMania. And that is perfect timing to have that game done before WrestleMania Sunday kicks off on Peacock. Perfect timing by them. As we table the NCAA Women's Championship discussion, which is very good, by the way. I love that for women's basketball. Finally getting that respect and notoriety it deserves with star power galore. As we get to the main event of night one of WrestleMania, the biggest tag team main event ever. It is Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, the World Heavyweight Champion, versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. Let's talk entrances. Cody's fine. We'll talk about his tomorrow night. That's more important. Seth, good God, extravagant as hell, very fancy, very Renaissance Baroque by Seth coming out there. And then it was all about The Rock's entrance, as if he is truly the final boss in a video game. He has unlocked the final level to his game. The production, the entrance, the fiery Brahma Bull on the main stage, The Rock rocking through that fire, coming out to his theme music. Just presentation aura, he has it. He looked in great shape. Roman comes out as well. Basic entrance as always, but I expect a bit more tomorrow night as well. But The Rock, yeah, outside of the big three and Rhea, best entrance of the night by far.
Yeah, I agree. Seth Rollins looked like he took one of a Chris Tucker's thrown out outfits from the Fifth Element. But that's a go ahead and look up Chris Tucker in the Fifth Element if you want to know what I'm talking about. But that's fine. Yeah, I think you're right about Roman. He'll have something extravagant, something big for tomorrow. Yeah, The Rock's entrance was great. Used the full screen. The only person who got to do that again. I think there were some very clear instructions. Hey, can I do this? Nope. Can't do nothing on that screen. You can't use that XL. Nope. Can't do that. Nah, can't use no fire. Nah, Edge would have been pissed. If Edge was here this year, he'd have been pissed. I can't get my fire? Oh, man. I can't raise from hell? Come on. But yeah, the Rock's entrance was definitely big time and fitting of someone of his caliber coming back. And I know we'll get to it, but I thought The Rock's presentation throughout this entire thing was really good.
Yes, it was. And let's get to the tag team match itself, because the big question is, how much is Rock going to do in this match? Mm-hmm. How is his cardio? And Michael Cole, he was throwing shade. He was like, listen, the man ain't wrestled in over a decade. Talking about that six second match against Eric Rowan at WrestleMania back in 32. Oh, that wasn't a real work. That man ain't worked a match in a decade. Then you talk about Roman Reigns. Now, I will say this for Roman. Okay. Now, you said the restaurant's too big. I agree. But, you know, Roman gets automatic cheddar biscuits because that dude's physique was sick. The abs were abbing last night. The guy was working out, fit, ready to go. And then Michael threw that shade saying, well, hell, when you ain't worked since the Royal Rumble, that's how you get them abs. Like, he ain't been doing nothing. Like, he was throwing shots. And we had the people and Corey and Pat, like, capping for the bloodline. Because I don't give a shit. Like, listen, they don't work. They don't do much. You do the bare minimum. That's why they're in shape. I love Michael Cole. He didn't give a single solitary you know what about their regimen and how good they look. Like, no, they still haven't done anything in this ring in a decade and 2 months plus, respectfully.
Yeah, Michael Cole. I've enjoyed Michael Cole, man. I think he's done a great job ever since he got that tick out of his ear. So I think he's done a great job, and I can't wait for him to make that call of Cody Rhodes winning the title and him being just so happy. Like, I remember last year how excited he was when Rey Mysterio pulled that belt and whooped that boy Dominic. Like, I can't wait for Cody to win the title and him just to be ecstatic. Because the way that he was like, yo, y'all, because at one point Pat was like, yo, you going to throw your one up, Michael? You going to throw your one up, Michael? Yo. I Michael Cole's been great. I think he's been a great lead announcer who is a heavy babyface when he needs to be, when the time calls. And it makes the matches. He does his job as an announcer to make a match like this mean more, because he's rooting so heavily for the babyface, where you're like, man, what the hell did The Rock and Roman do? And then, you know, he gives the backstory. So I think Michael Cole has been tremendous since the Parasite left.
Yes, Parasite, tick, lice, whatever you want to call it, he's out of the building, and I'm looking forward to it. Tomorrow night, this is going to be like special, so special. We get to the shenanigans later, but I want to talk about the match itself, as I believe we got a comment from David Valentine. This is wishful thinking. That Roman Reigns will go to AEW when his contract expires.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Let me tell you something. If he does that, that's a landscape changing move that shifts everything that you got going on. I don't see that happening.
Tony's got to have like 30 mil in the bank to get that done.
Yeah, that's just the signing bonus.
Exactly. $30 million signing bonus off top. I don't think it's going to happen. Stranger things have happened in wrestling, but he's got to break the bank to get him. Endeavor and TKO, they're not going to let him go. And remember who's on the board of TKO. The Rock, his cousin's got his back for life. Trust and believe that.
Yeah,
but
he's
gonna get the big bag when it counts most. But let's talk about this tag team match. It went 45 minutes, I believe. Too long. I heard some boos for Cody. It's not surprising because despite The Rock being a heel, it's not unthinkable to me that he would get cheered in this situation because he hasn't wrestled in over 10 years, bell to bell, for a prolonged period of time. He is The Rock, and people want to see what he's going to do. Does he still have enough in the tank? He's going to get that nostalgia pop. He's going to get that moment to shine, and I expected that. So for people that are freaking out about Cody getting booed, it's fine. Tomorrow night, it's going to be a different night. This was The Rock's moment to kind of show that he still got it. He looked very impressive in this match. He didn't look gassed out too much. He didn't bust out sweating. He was very conditioned. He was very in the moment. He did not miss a single spot in this match. And I thought he was into it. He was the consummate professional. Too much water spitting for me because I'm still pandemic aware of stuff. Like, spitting in my face is crazy. And they did it multiple times in this match, getting hydrated in various ways. They brawled around the stadium for a bit. And Cody and Seth, they put in that work, had some nice double team spots. And Cody has some trouble hitting this Cody cutter on Roman. Hope that's not the case tomorrow night. Hit that thing clean. But I can tell you The Rock took the Cody cutter perfectly down the stretch. And then at one point we had like Cody blocking the people's elbow, made the crowd angry, hit that cutter. We had a double pedigree spot for a very close near fall. We had Cody take out The Rock with The Rock Bottom through the announce table. We had Roman take out Seth with a spear through the barricade. And throughout this match, The Rock and Roman Reigns targeted Seth Rollins' knee that was injured earlier this year against Jinder Mahal for the World Heavyweight Championship match at the top of Monday Night Raw to kick off the new year. Sewed it perfectly. And then eventually it came down to a shocking moment in this match that might be some foreshadowing tomorrow when Roman Reigns accidentally speared his cousin The Rock when Seth pulled Cody out of the way. And I'll let Scott take it from here.
Yeah, everything up to that point, the match was 45 minutes long. The first 5 minutes was just them kind of having a stare down. The next couple minutes was Roman going at each one, doing a little wrestling. Then The Rock tags in. So the first 10 minutes of the match is really just kind of each man getting in the ring, getting a piece of the other man. Pause. But that was crazy. I enjoyed this match. 45 minutes is a hell of a main event. They took up more than the last hour. And even Roman had a little pep in his step. He wasn't taking that Undertaker stroll to the ring this time. He had a little movement to him. I enjoyed this match. I thought The Rock looked really good, man. I thought he looked better. He looked definitely better than the second Cena match. And I thought he was probably on par with his first Cena match. Like I thought he looked really good out there. He was, like you said, he was right there for everything. He sold really well. This was a very enjoyable match. You could have taken 10 minutes off, but I like the pandering. Like I like The Rock getting out wrestled by Seth, then taking Seth down and then looking at Cody, letting the crowd build and, come on, let's do this. That's, and that all that's consuming time, but I enjoy that pandering because when it's The Rock, like you said, that crowd reaction just hits different, and I'm not worried about it either because when all the shenanigans and that dynamite does explode tomorrow night, everything will be in place. Everything will be just fine. But I thought for what this was a really good main event. Everybody did their part. Roman looked good. Rock looked good. Seth Rollins looked like a fighting champion that he is taking on this match. And I thought the announcers did a really good job of hammering that home throughout this match. Every time Rollins would take a bump to that knee or would start favoring that knee, they would talk about, Rollins doesn't have to do this, or even the other part of that with Cody on the outside, man, what's got to be going through Cody Rhodes' head every time he's knocked down or every time Rollins has a near fall? You know, he could end up getting bloodline rules and not even be a part of the pinfall. So I thought the announcers did a really good job throughout this match as well, really elevating everything.
For sure. And the nostalgia played a factor in this match, obviously, as it should. And as you said, this will not affect tomorrow night at all, because this is just a precursor to what is going to be a batshit crazy main event. It's going to be 40 years of WrestleMania rolled into that main event. And I think we're going to get some surprises. That crowd that might have been kind of frigid and cold, or they're going to be hot for what they're going to witness tomorrow. And a key factor to me is going to be The Rock getting that receipt back on his cousin. Now, regardless of the violence of this rivalry with himself and Cody, they're revisited for a match down the road one-on-one. I do believe that. But it's going to be a seed planted for Roman and The Rock when The Rock accidentally, quote-unquote, gets his cousin back tomorrow night during the main event of WrestleMania. But very good match. It was a bit long, but I thought The Rock held his own. Like, he was in good shape. He didn't feel out of place. He sold perfectly, got the win via the people's elbow after hitting the Rock Bottom on Cody Rhodes. So Cody is down and out heading into WrestleMania. Bloodline rules the main event. I expect all the pageantry. I expect all the craziness to go down tonight for WrestleMania 40 night two. And that will be the moment of catharsis. That'll be the moment when it all comes together that I complained about last year, being very unhappy about this main event of how it went down in LA. But I do believe that it's going to be that full circle, bottom of the ninth moment that Cody finally finishes the story via a lot of Avengers Endgame shenanigans.
Yeah, this tonight was definitely Infinity War. This was definitely Thanos getting the gauntlet, you know, the bloodline, getting the rules that they want and getting the free reign and showing what they can do with that free reign. So this was definitely Thanos getting the gauntlet. And, you know, and tomorrow night is going to be Captain America getting somebody to say, hey, on your left, you know, it could just be a glass shattering. That final on your left that just sets it all off. To me, this is going to get 3.5 rock bottoms. I thought the match, like I said, the match was enjoyable. A good main event that you could have taken 10 minutes off. That's fine. But I like that pandering that they do when they're just kind of, you know, playing around, feeling each other out and, you know, getting into the groove. But this was one thing I do want to point out is that closing shot of Cody Rhodes sitting in the ring exactly the same way he did last year after he lost, you know, just kind of looking shocked, Rock kicking Seth Rollins' title out of the ring when the referee put it on the apron, just knocked it off and get that shit out of here. And then Roman and Rock holding up their titles. That closing shot, that Empire Strikes Back finish that we got tonight, that's exactly what this was. You know, that's what this was right here. That was the Empire Strikes Back. That was your Infinity War, all building towards the big comeback. The hero makes the big comeback. Luke Skywalker got his arm chopped off and Empire came back with that robot arm. Next thing you know, he's a Jedi master. He can lift up ships. So I don't know what type of Jedi tricks Cody's got, but he's definitely calling in the troops. It won't happen, but man, what a time it would be if Dustin Rhodes were to somehow come out and just lend a hand. I know it's not going to happen, but sometimes I like to do my fantasy booking.
That would be the crossover moment of 2024 if that happens, but he'll just tweet about it and just be happy for his brother wherever he may be. Probably he'll be there, but completely off camera most likely. But yeah, I expect the main event to be very special tomorrow. Shenanigans galore. It is going to be special. Glass breaking. That crowd is going to lose their ever-loving mind when that happens. The Rock will go crazy and he'll just eat a fantastic stunner courtesy of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I believe that is happening tomorrow. I expect Cena there as well to deliver an AA to Roman Reigns. I expect Sammy and Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, Jey Uso. I expect a collective of Avengers to be there in the main event to help Cody finally finish his story. And Scott, he alluded to this again, that if he wins, Winged Eagle is coming back.
How about this, Cody? Instead of you worrying about your next design, why don't you go get the belt first, okay? you worried about your design and all this stuff. Yeah, we're going to bring back the win. When you bringing it back? Because we still waiting on you to write your last chapter, your story, okay? Yeah, he did, and that'd be cool if he does. I hope it's just a little bit upgraded. I don't know if I want to go back to the original, the old school. It'll be cool, you know, while Cody has it. And if it's a Cody thing, that's fine. But I would rather it be more of an updated winged eagle. Just something original that you can kind of keep going forward.
Definitely. I'm watching SportsCenter right now.
Uh-oh.
And I see Joe Tessitore, CM Punk, and The Miz discussing WrestleMania Night 1. And I see The Miz's championship belt on the table.
Oh, you know, The Miz and CM Punk at the commentary table discussing WrestleMania. That boy Phil said, yeah, I'm going to be on my best. Hey, Mike, how you doing, big guy? My favorite wrestler. Yeah, shout out to Mike The Miz, man. That dude just finished wrestling a ladder match, a grueling ladder match where, you know, he was just bumping all around, taking these crazy bumps. And now he's three-piece suit up, ready to go at ESPN. That's what a true professional does.
Look at Chris, by the way, must say. So,
see what I'm saying? He cleans up nice.
Even Phil looks pretty good. Not going to hate. So that wraps up WrestleMania Night 1. It's in the book. So Scott, after reviewing the show and looking at everything from every angle, what is your final analysis and score from 1 to 10 tiers?
Ah, man. You know, it like I said, this didn't hit. And I absolutely had the same expectations I had for 39. 39 exceeded them. This one didn't quite meet them. It wasn't a bad show by any means. It just, when you're up against an all-timer like last year, this is what happens. It's going to get, let's go 6.5 extra large WrestleManias for this one.
All right. I'm going to go also 6.5 XLs for WrestleMania 40. It was a good show, not a great show. WrestleMania 2022, the back nine for Night 1, and of course, WrestleMania Night 1 last year in LA, they were just special shows that cannot be matched. We'll see what 41 does for Night 1, but I do think that Night 2, tomorrow night or tonight, wherever you are in the world right now, it is definitely going to deliver a very memorable WrestleMania for sure. I expect some sneaky great matches tomorrow night. Top of the card to kick off Night 2 will be Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Champion. I saw this question throughout the main event. Where in the hell was Damian Priest when Seth Rollins was completely incapacitated? Like, where were you to cash in when this man had no hope to even get his ass up? Where were you, sir?
Holding the camera. you heard Rhea in the press conference. He's on the camera. Speaking of that, you know, my son was watching that ladder match, and next thing you know, they came out with those masks, and he was like, "Dad, why has he got the mask on?" I was like, "Son, you're not quite old enough for those masks yet. Don't worry about that type of stuff yet. They that Judgment Day, they do weird stuff over there. Don't pay them no mind." He was like, "Oh, let me go up to my room." So who knows what Damian was doing, but I can tell you this. It had nothing to do with the briefcase.
No, it did not. No, it did not at all, because this was just, I can't. Shame on him, actually. Shame on him. I cannot.
But to be fair, like, Cody probably would have stopped it. So I get him not cashing it. Like, Cody was right there. Cody could be bad, but like, Cody ain't gonna let that man cash in on him.
All right, let's get to night two. Hopefully he does it tonight. If he doesn't, because that's just ridiculous. Night two, match two, Philadelphia Street Fight, The Pride, Lion King, Pride Rock, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Blair Witch Project, Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain, The Final Testament.
Yep. It is what it is.
I think it'll be very good, despite the mittness of the Blair Witch Project. Then we have LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
It'll be fine. Get the crowd excited. Hopefully LA Knight gets a big WrestleMania win.
Yes. Then we have the WWE United States Championship match, which could very well steal the evening. Logan Paul, the champion, versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And they've gotten along very well, but that will not be the case tomorrow night. And Randy's teasing he's going to do a absolutely crazy RKO during this match.
My prediction for that RKO is I think Randy's going to be at the announce table. Logan Paul is going to jump from the ring to splash him through the announce table, and Orton's going to catch him with an RKO through the announce table from the ring.
Holy mother of God, if he actually does it.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what possible RKO you can do. And Logan Paul is more than athletic to get from the ring, as we've seen, to the announce table and clear the announce table for Randy to catch him. And all Randy would really have to do is just catch. I mean, I'm not only like it's easy, but Randy would just need to catch, you know, catch him by the neck and bring him through the announce table. So that's my prediction for the RKO.
A sound, fair prediction. Got Logan Paul winning this as well, but I expect this to be a show stealer. The talent's there. This would be Logan Paul's best match in a minute, I do believe, if they get the time to go out there and just have a ball. And Kevin Owens, he's going to do some crazy stuff too, as he tends to do in these situations. And Randy Orton, he will get you with an RKO out of nowhere, and it will be spectacular. As we get to our semi-main event, it is Io Sky versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship. No Paramore, because it was a scheduling conflict, but they did get Hayley Williams on tap for the video package, which was excellent.
Yeah, I don't mind. They definitely crush dreams, but you know, it is what it is. This will be a good match too. I hope the crowd is invested, and Bayley's gonna get another big title win at WrestleMania.
Yes, I think so as well. I think this match has a sleeper mentality that it could be very well great if given the time. They got a hell of a match to follow up on, but I do hope the fans just give Bayley so much love. She's deserved, and I want her to have a WrestleMania moment that I thought that was lacking several years ago in Orlando. So here's hoping that she gets to redo in the semi-main event spot as we get to the main event. It is Avengers Endgame for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. It is going to be bloodline rules. Anything goes. Expect every entrance imaginable from legends to come out there to save Cody in the clutch as he will finally finish his story with unprecedented fireworks live from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I agree. I think he finishes the story. I'm expecting, like you said, 40 years worth of WrestleMania legends to come out. Cena will take care of Solo. The Stone Cold will take care of The Rock. Jay will neutralize Jimmy. And then it'll just be Cody and Roman. And I think once we get everyone neutralized at that point, that, and they get that final face-to-face of them two and Roman's just kind of looking around like it's just me, I think the crowd's going to erupt. So, yeah, I'm hoping night two is going to be that apex that I was looking for tonight.
Me too. The apex, the pinnacle, everything that has been building up to this moment is coming. The fans are going to be fine. They love Cody, but you know what? The Rock is The Rock, and that man's aura is everything, and he wasn't going to get booed, but that will be the case tonight. And you saw that pop when Roman speared his cousin. They are ready for this as well. It's going to be many stories told within this main event. It's going to be a spectacular spectacle. I firmly believe that. And we'll talk about night two in higher regard than night one, but night one was a pretty good show as well. As we put a bow on night one of WrestleMania right here on YouTube via the Fight Game Media Network. So we'll be back tomorrow night around midnight after the press conference for WrestleMania 40 with good news to share, I hope. First of three live streams as we recap two nights of WrestleMania and the night after WrestleMania live in Philadelphia on Monday Night Raw. So much to look forward to. So, Scott, thank you for joining me as we spent almost 90 minutes discussing the highs and lows from WrestleMania XL.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up. Looking forward to doing this again tomorrow night. And again, we will be cutting Triple H's part of the press conference short if we have to. But
yes, we will.
Looking forward to tomorrow night.
We did. We watched the press conference. Triple H came on and my tag team partner. So you know what? We can just skip that portion. He's just going to give some very political answers, very PR. We can skip that if I have to skim through and see what he said. Sure. But just know the man is now opening and closing WWE programming now. He is now the signature voice of WWE. He is truly not The Rock. He is actually the final boss when it's all said and done. But we'll be back tomorrow night recapping night two of WrestleMania 40. Should be a very memorable and remarkable night when it's all said and done. So until then, enjoy WrestleMania tomorrow night. Come back here with us to talk about it right here on YouTube via the Fight Game Media Network. For myself and for WrestleMania, Scott Young with the baby face. Until tomorrow night, take care. Bye-bye and enjoy WrestleMania 40 Part 2 on Peacock or Netflix, wherever you watch the WWE Network, as that will be a thing of the past imminently. Until tomorrow, take care. Bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.